Welcome to installment 253 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one prohibition, prohibition number 266, Leisitz Aveh, one of the Ten Commandments not to desire your neighbor's belongings, specifically referring to thinking about ways of acquiring one's neighbor's belongings. The Rambam tells us that this prohibition is a prohibition dependent on feeling and thought. It is closely related to yesterday's commandment, Leisachmed, do not desire or envy. This commandment is derived, however, from the second set of Ten Commandments, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 18, where the Ten Commandments, which were stated in the book of Exodus, are repeated for a second time. There are a number of variations, however, between as they are in the book of Exodus and as they are in the book of Deuteronomy. This is one difference, that in the book of Exodus, only Leisachmed is mentioned, do not desire. Here, also it is mentioned Leitisaveh. First Leisachmed is mentioned, and then Lotisaveh, which are two different expressions of desire. What is the reason for this change? The Mechilta tells us that this is to teach us that there are two separate prohibitions. Leisachmed is one prohibition, and Leitisaveh is another. What is the difference? The Rambam explains that Leisisaveh comes first. It is a prohibition against feeling, against having a desire for another person's possessions. Leisachmed is the next step, as we discussed in yesterday's portion, that after a person acts upon this desire and pressures the owner to sell him or give him these possessions, then once he purchases them, he has transgressed this prohibition, even though he may have paid a great deal of money and therefore made a legal purchase. Nevertheless, he has transgressed the prohibition of Leisachmed. The Mechilta tells us that all of these commandments are associated with the prohibition against theft. Leitisaveh is the first step. First, one desires these possessions. Then Leisachmed is when the person acts on this desire and tries to make the person sell him. If the person is unwilling to sell them, even for money or even as trade, then the person will come to steal. And the Mechilta proves this from Psukim, from verses of the Torah. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, both things are mentioned, Leitisaveh and Leisachmed. Therefore, we see that one will lead to the other. First, there will be the desire, and this will lead to the person acting upon this desire and trying to purchase the object. How do we know, says the Mechilta, that the person eventually will come to steal the object if he is unable to buy it? A verse in Tanakh, in Micha, says, V'chom dusodeis v'gozolu, that they envied, they desired the fields, and they stole them, which shows that this desire, this sachmeit, chenda, if not fulfilled, will lead to actual theft. It is for this reason, as we mentioned in yesterday's portion, that the Chinuch tells us that these mitzvahs are incumbent upon Bnei Noach, upon non-Jews as well, that since they are prohibited from theft, therefore these commandments, which keep a person away from theft, are also part of their responsibility, and they are therefore prohibited from trying to purchase an object, buy it away from someone else and forcing him into selling, and even from harboring a desire, an urge for this object. What's more, that Rambam tells us to meditate into the story of Achav and Naves. It's brought in the book of Malachim, the first book of Kings, chapter 21, a story regarding Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, after he convinced the Jewish people at Mount Carmel in the famous story of the Baal. Thereafter, Achav, who was the wicked leader at the time, desired a certain vineyard of a man named Naves. This vineyard was close to his palace, and he had a very strong desire to purchase it. He asked Novus to sell it, and even offered him a vast amount of money for it, and even a better field in exchange. But Novus refused, and said he could not sell this which belonged to his ancestors. Achav became very, very depressed, and was unable to eat, and he sat in bed. His wife Izebel, the wicked Jezebel, came and said, "Why are you grieving so?" After telling her what had happened, she said, "Don't worry, eat and feast, and I will get the field for you." Thereupon Izebel sent out a royal edict that Novus should be killed, that false witnesses should testify that he has made an oath and cursed both God and the king, and therefore was worthy of death. The false witnesses did this, and Novus was brought outside the city limits and stoned to death. Thereafter, at the end of the story, Eliyahu HaNavi came with a prophecy of God, telling Achav that he also would be killed, and in the place where the dogs were licking the blood of Novus, they will be instead licking the blood of Achav, that he himself will be killed. And Izebel, who actually carried out this command, that she was the one that wrote the edict, Izebel's body will be consumed by dogs next to the wall of the city. And later on, these prophecies were fulfilled, and this is actually what happened to Achav and Izebel. The Rambam tells us to think about this story, since we see where desire can lead. Achav's whole problem started with his coveting, his desire, his taiva for the field of Novus, and thereupon he tried to buy it. And when this was not fulfilled, he actually came to murder in order to satisfy his desire. The Chinuch asks that people think it is impossible to fulfill this commandment of Lo Tisaveh. After all, we can fulfill commandments to do certain things or not do certain things, but how can we have a commandment regarding our feelings? How can we command it not to desire something? If we desire it, how could we help it? A similar question is asked on other matters also, such as the Ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, that you should love Hashem. How can there be a commandment to love? As far as this commandment, Lo Tisaveh, the Chinuch answers that do not think so, that God has commanded this of it, has demanded this, and therefore he gives us the power to control our desires and not desire such a thing. And as Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita explains in Likud Sichos, that this is different from a positive commandment. For the idea of loving Hashem, we learn from the Magi that the commandment there is to think, and by thinking, we can control our emotions. When it comes to not thinking about something, however, this we do not need any special meditation. To create a feeling, this we need a special meditation for. But for prohibitions, for negative commandments, not to feel something and not to think about something, this we can fulfill simply by our will, by exercising our desire not to feel it, we can accomplish this. However, when we look into things deeper, we see in Tanya that even a Beinoni, who is as defined by Tanya, is a person who never does a single sin, not in deed, and not in speech, and not even in thought. He does not sin even for one moment of his lifetime, even in thought. And this is the Beinoni, an intermediate. A tzaddik, a righteous person, is even higher. The true tzaddik does not even have any desires whatsoever to sin. The Beinoni, however, has a desire to sin, but just does not think about it. So how can this fit in with the idea we expressed here that it is required according to the Torah not to desire someone else's possessions? Even a Beinoni, the Tanya tells us, has desires. So how can the Torah demand this of us? This is explained in Tanya, in Perakim Yud Aleph, in Yud Beis, and is actually seen even in the Lashon HaRambam, the way the Rambam describes this prohibition in his legal code. When does one transgress this prohibition, loy tisava, the Rambam tells us? Not just for having the taiva, but kiven shechoshav belibay, heyach yikne dover zeh, that once a person thinks about how he can acquire this object, then he transgresses the prohibition. Just the desire to obtain this other belonging, this object, is not enough to make him transgress like Tisave. He must think about how actually to acquire it. Once he acts upon acquiring it, he will transgress the second prohibition of Leisachmeid. But by thinking about how to obtain it, he is transgressing Leitisave. But the actual taiva, the desire for the object, even a Beinoni cannot fully control. Therefore, we understand both things. The actual taiva, the desire to control that, is only within the grasp of a tzaddik. He will never have a desire even to do anything bad. The Beinoni will have a desire to do things which are bad, and could desire, in this case, someone else's object. But to think about actually trying to acquire it, to think about this practically, this is something the Beinoni will never do. Which explains, incidentally, how the Beinoni can have a taiva, but we say he never sins when it comes to thought. If he's having the desire for something, it seems he's transgressing Leitisava by thinking about acquiring it. However, as we see from the precise expression of the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, the Beinoni does not think about how actually he will acquire this object. He has a desire, but this is not the prohibition. When he starts thinking into it, and once he becomes aware of the desire, he continues to dwell upon this in his mind, then he is transgressing the prohibition, and then he would lose his status as a Beinoni. But a real Beinoni will push this desire immediately out of his mind, and never will entertain any thoughts of fulfilling it. How can the Beinoni reach such a level? It's explained in Chassidus that by a Beinoni to do any sort of sin, and even thinking about it, is something which is totally impossible. Because of his powerful Kabbalah's ale, acceptance of the yoke of heaven, and firm conviction to do everything which Hashem commands and desires of him, such a thought is completely impossible. Although the desire is still there, he has not purified his heart completely, and he still has a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination, therefore the desire will still be there inwardly. But because of his powerful Kabbalah's ale, and his full conviction not to transgress everything of the Torah, fulfilling this taiva, fulfilling the desire, is totally beyond him, is totally impossible. We can see this even in commentaries to the Chumash, as the Evan Ezra explains this halacha, that when a simple farmer sees the daughter of the king and is attracted to her, he would never entertain any thoughts of actually approaching the daughter of the king. No matter how strong his attraction might be, he will never seriously think about approaching her. Since she is the daughter of the king and he is a farmer, it is totally impossible there should ever be a connection between them. And so too, in our case, the Beinoni would never think practically about this actually coming to be, that he will actually fulfill his desire, whether to obtain one of his neighbor's possessions, or to do anything else prohibited by the Torah. It's something completely impossible, that since Hashem has told us it is forgiven, it is totally beyond him, it is totally impossible. And so too the Evan Ezra says, regarding this law, that we should think that since it belongs to our neighbor, and therefore we are forbidden from wanting it, it should be something completely beyond our grasp, something we consider to be impossible, and therefore we will have no desire for it, just as other things which are totally beyond our grasp. Other Jewish writings give another piece of advice about how not to have such desires, and this is through an opposite tactic. Instead of trying to decrease the desire, rather increase desire in another area. Which area is this? In Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. Actually, a human being has just a faculty of desire, and he can utilize this to desire whatever he wants. Should he exercise it in the physical realm, he will desire physical things. However, should he desire to come closer to Hashem, to come closer to godliness and spirituality, he will no longer have any desire to the physical. As explained in the Talmudic expression, Keshezek comes and they fall, that when one of the two rises, the other one falls. This is spoken in regard to Jacob and Esau, Yaakov and Esav, as well as the city of Tyre, Tzur, and the city of Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim is strong, the city of Tzur is weak. And when the city of Tzur is weak, then Yerushalayim is strong. It works both ways. So too over here, when love for the physical is strong, there is a weak love for the spiritual. But if a person strengthens in their love for Hashem, their love for the Torah, and their love for spiritual betterment, then there will be a weakening of the desire for the physical, and the person will no longer have such desires, and will have them well under control. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.